Howdy, y'all, and welcome back to the Magic Story Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie.
And I'm your other host, Harless.
Welcome back to Outlaws of Thunder Junction. We are in Season 8 of the Magic Story Podcast, and if today is your first time with us, welcome. This is the podcast where we recap the fiction story behind the card game Magic the Gathering, adding our own bits of flavor text and reactions along the way.
In today's episode, we are covering story episode number 4, titled Finding Tarnation, which is written by Akemi Dawn Bowman.
Strap in those stirrups and join us as we head into the multiverse. So last episode, for those getting caught up today, last episode and so far in Outlaws of Thunder Junction, we have been mainly following our good friend Kellen, and he is currently finding lots of issues with his father Oko's crew, who is doing a lot of illegal things and kind of putting innocence at risk, to put it mildly, last episode. And Oko's crew is also working with Ashiok. And because of Kellen's run-in with Ashiok in Wilds of Eldraine, Kellen doesn't trust them. I don't blame Kellen. But above all of this, Kellen just really wants Oko's approval. And so he is agreeing to go along with this because he doesn't want to let his father down, and he's trying to get to know him. Our poor baby Kellen is just so, so sweet. And he goes on this train heist last episode, and Oko's crew is trying to capture Nolan, who probably has knowledge about Tarnation and the Vault. And essentially, this heist goes completely wrong, although they do successfully kidnap Nolan. The train is just careening towards this blown-out bridge, and there are hundreds and hundreds of innocents on this train. And Kellen is the only one of the crew to actually save the people on the train. To no help of Oko, however, he just kind of leaves Kellen to deal with it on his own. The only person who comes back to help him is Annie.
And today's episode starts with Kellen and Oko and the rest of the crew sitting around a campfire hours after the whole incident with the train. And Kellen, he's having a hard time letting go. He's not happy about the whole, you know, my father let me down to deal with the train on my own thing. The whole, you promised me no innocents would get hurt and you absolutely lied to me thing.
So Oko, as typical Oko, twists Kellen's words around. And he said he didn't leave Kellen. No, no. Instead, he knew Kellen could handle the train on his own. You are my son, and I trust you, he said, as if that's like a suitable explanation. More like Oko didn't want to lift a finger to help innocent people and was just worried about his own skin. Am I right?
And Kellen's thinking on the same wavelengths, but he's also trying to hold out hopes that his father will eventually come around. Now, while Kellen is battling with himself on whether he trusts Oko or not, the crew crowds around Nolan, the outcaster who they had kidnapped from the train last episode. And at this point, Ashiok appears and begins to kind of unravel his memories in search of the answers that they're looking for.
And it's obvious this process isn't pleasant, and it doesn't sit well with Kellen watching what is pretty much Ashiok torturing Nolan. Oko, however, tells him not to worry. Finally, Ashiok finds the answer and approaches Oko to reveal the news. The artifact is a key, they said. Just as we thought, it is one of six.
And this is from the story. Oko brushed a finger over his brow. Kellen realized it was a tell, something he did to hide his frustration. Where are the others? Akul has the other five. He wears them in a medallion around his neck, Ashiok explained, and the nearby crew mumbled their displeasure. But there's something else I found in the outcaster's mind. A map to Tarnation exists, and it's buried in Thief's Folly. And Thief's Folly is a familiar place to the Necromancer twins, Gisa and Geralf, who volunteer to go and find the map while the others figure out how to acquire the five other keys from Akul. And Oko says they should return to the saloon and formulate plans.
Before they all leave, though, Kellen asks, what about the outcaster, meaning Nolan? And Oko just asks, what about him? And Kellen is just flabbergasted. They're all willing to leave a man out here in the middle of the wilderness to fend for himself after they kidnapped him. Nolan may not be innocent. I mean, he is an outcast and an outlaw, but he certainly doesn't deserve that, to just be left into the wilderness to fend for himself. So once again, the differences between Kellen and Oko are clashing. Oko is just almost like irked by the boy's steadfast compassion, and Kellen is irked by Oko's heartlessness. Eventually, though, Annie agrees to help Kellen get Nolan to someplace safe before catching up with the rest of the crew. And once again, Annie's the only one to step in to help Kellen, not Oko.
I'm going to read this next part directly from the story because this point is not beyond Kellen's reach either. That's twice you've helped me. Thank you. Annie didn't respond. She continued down the path and clicked her tongue against the roof of her mouth, drawing Fortune's attention. He stalked out of the evening breeze, body relaxed in a way that showed trust. What made you sign up with Oko? Kellen asked. It was the lesser of two evils. He couldn't tell if she was joking or not. You don't trust him? Annie winced. Trust is for favors. This is a job, and I reckon I don't trust anyone who hires outlaws to do their dirty work. Kellen stared at the ground. I wasn't sure you were an outlaw, to be honest. You don't seem like the others. I thought, well, I don't know, that I was more like you. Kellen didn't answer.
And Annie here goes on to explain that she was once part of the Freestriders when she had a run-in with Akul, and Akul nearly killed her nephew. And this is her saying from the story. I'm not saying I'm any better than the crew around that fire. I know what I am and what I've done. But Akul, he's a different kind of outlaw. The worst kind. I don't want to see anyone hurt the way my nephew was. If there's really power in that vault, and Akul gets a hold of it, her expression hardens. I can't let that happen.
Kellen looked back to the campfire in the distance, watching his father deep in conversation with Vraska and Ashiok. The worst kind of outlaw. His eyes remained pinned to Oko, long enough for Annie to notice. Family is tough, blood or otherwise, she said quietly. It's not always easy to know someone's heart. But in my experience, she shrugged, time helps, but a gut feeling is always worth paying attention to.
And I love this advice that Annie is giving to him, because I think she's seeing Kellen struggle with not getting along with his father. And I think she sees what Kellen is trying to work through, but she also sees that Kellen is beginning to realize who Oko is, and so is she. You know, so she's trying to kind of forewarn him almost. And it made me appreciate Annie because she's looking out for him. She really is trying to be compassionate and give him some really good advice here.
It's what sets Annie and Kellen apart from the other outlaws, right?
Like, yes.
They both can two things. One, they can see each other for what they are. And really, like, they have that in each other, and they have, like, a comrade in that way, which is really amazing because Kellen needs that at this point. But also, they can both see so clearly the problems with every single other person in this crew who does think only of themselves, who is completely heartless. So, it's a tough spot to be in, but I'm really happy Kellen has somebody to kind of help him through it.
Yeah, I think the way you said it, Harless, is completely right. Annie and Kellen are the two individuals who are different from the rest of the crew. The rest of the crew are in it for themselves and will do whatever it takes to get to the vault, like even if it means betraying each other, right? And I think Kellen and Annie wouldn't do that. Kellen and Annie would actually try and help and do the right thing, which sets them apart. So I wonder if this is going to play in a little bit. But anyway, fast forward a bit in time. We're back at the saloon with Oko, and Geesa and Geralf return with the map to Tarnation from Thief's Folly. And so finally they have it, all the pieces. All that's left now is to somehow get into the fortress of Tarnation and take those five other keys from Akul and open the vault. And it turns out, as they were looking at this map, the vault floats around the city, like above the city. And Oko has the idea that a select group of his crew could go into Tarnation disguised as Hellspurs. Annie would obviously be one of them, since she could spot one of Akul's inner circle who could tell them more. And Vraska will also go with him and Annie. And the last person Oko chooses is Kellen.
And Kellen is pretty shocked by this, but Oko plays it up with flattery. He says, well, Kellen's skills are useful. And, you know, he predicts that Kellen doesn't want to let his father down and will say yes. And in this instance, Oko is unfortunately correct in that trick, and Kellen agrees. The rest of the crew, so that's Rakdos, Tiny Bones, Malcolm, and all the others, they're going to wait outside Tarnation until the vault is opened. And I think that's a good plan. I don't think that Rakdos in particular could like just walk into the middle of this territory and not be spotted.
Yeah, I think it's Vraska or someone in this scene actually says, we're not exactly low key here. Like our group, yeah. And I think Rakdos is like this giant demon god, is going to be the least low key out of all of them. So probably smart that they're all waiting outside of Tarnation. So fast forward again, a bit further in time, the crew actually makes it to Tarnation and the vault is obvious. I'll read this part from the story as they see it for the first time. An enormous rock with sharp, jagged edges hovered in the sky. Clouds swirled around the tallest spire as if caught in its orbit, while lava flowed from the edge, pooling into the twisted rivers that moved through Tarnation. It left an angry hue on every surface, glowing like the embers of a newborn fire. Mog Terranau. The Vault. A maze of warped rock foundations wound through the city below, surrounded by a circular canyon. Buildings made of solidified lava rock and sharpened bits of wood were everywhere, and animal bones framed many of the doors and windows, illuminated by the colorful lanterns hidden inside.
And as they enter the city, Kellen witnesses the cutthroat ways of the Hellspurs as he, Oko, Vraska, and Annie try to blend into the streets of Tarnation dressed as Hellspurs themselves. They visited 3 different saloons at this point, searching for a member of Akul's inner circle, and have had no luck in finding one. The only luck they do seem to have is that no one has recognized them so far. So Kellen follows the other 3 into yet another saloon.
The ceiling curved like the inside of a barrel. Everything smelled of metal and sour fruit, making Kellen recoil. He followed Annie's gaze to a woman sitting at the bar. She wore a spiked wrought iron pauldron, each point tinged with red-hot embers. The rest of her clothes were of burgundy material, frayed at every edge, with a small thunder pistol and a hatchet tucked into her belt. Smoke radiated from her skin as if she were ready to catch fire at any moment. Annie went rigid, voice nearly inaudible. That's Twist Fandango, one of Akul's crew. And so while Oko nods in recognition of this and moves to approach Twist Fandango, Kellen tries to make himself kind of invisible and try his best to blend in with everybody else. So he goes to sit at a table in the back by himself.
But unfortunately, Kellen, as usual, is not quite invisible, right? Like people, he sticks out like a sore thumb everywhere he goes. And 3 Hellspurs come up to him and declare that this ain't his table and he better move it. And Kellen just immediately is like, oh, sorry. Okay, cool. I'll get up. No problem. Like, no, I'm in trouble. Yeah. And this is from the story. You're sorry, he repeated, flashing his sharpened teeth. You didn't learn the manners in Tarnation. I reckon you ain't supposed to be here at all. And Kellen tries to sneak away, but the Hellspurs knock him to the ground. The commotion is quickly turning, rousing the attention of the others in the saloon, and a raucous fight is seconds away, especially as Kellen makes it very obvious he is not from here by declaring he doesn't want any trouble.
Oh, Kellen, it's just, I could just so see this, where Kellen's just trying, I'm sorry, I don't want any trouble, please. And that's just not Hellspurs, like, that is not Tarnation at all. So while these Hellspurs are kind of ganging up on Kellen, Oko actually steps in, saying, and, like, it's kind of a cool moment where, like, you hear his spurs walk across, like, on the back of his boots, walk across the saloon and say, leave the kid alone. And Kellen is actually relieved that his father steps in. The Hellspurs turn their attention, obviously, to Oko then, and their suspicions just rise that Oko, Kellen, they don't look like they belong here in Tarnation. And it is not long before a full-on fight breaks out just after one punch from one of the Hellspurs, which Oko ducks. The entire saloon breaks out into a full-on firefight. And I love the added flair in this scene that the musicians playing in the corner don't stop playing their instruments. Instead, they just pick up the tempo of the music and everyone devolves into just chaotic fighting with like upbeat tempo music in the background. I just chuckled.
Yeah, that was a really fun piece of flavor. Well, the fighting goes on for a short while, but clearly Braska, Oko, Annie, and Kellen are way outnumbered. A blast from the saloon doors interrupts everything and stops the fighting instantly. Twist Fandango approaches Oko with all of Akul's inner circle at her side. And this is from the story. Twist stepped forward and sneered, holding her hatchet to Oko's throat. He sputtered as something fizzled against his skin, forcing his illusion to fade. "So, you're the Fae we've heard so much about," Twist said, drawing out her words like a slow poison. "Someone I know has been very anxious to meet you." "I do love my fans," Oko managed through strained breaths as the two Hellspurs holding him back tightened their grips. Twist turned to the others. "Tie him up. They're coming with us. Akul wants to deal with these trespassers personally."
A short time later, these four, Oko, Kellen, Vraska, and Annie, are in the prison, which is an enormous dome, almost like an old quarry. And Annie points out that this is bad because they are at the very bottom of Tarnation. Like, they cannot get out without fighting through everybody in Tarnation. So they are trapped here. Kellen, Vraska, Oko, and Annie are left chained to the rafters by their arms to wait for Akul to deal with them. And they don't have to wait long. Akul himself stalked through the dark mist, head low and talons scraping over the rocky floor. His crew filled in behind him, hungry for entertainment. Akul studied each of the hanging prisoners, golden eyes scanning their faces.
He recognizes Annie immediately. He even brings up her nephew, which we find out was stung by his scorpion tail and survived. But as we know, he didn't survive completely unscathed. And Akul quickly turns his attention to Oko, snatching the last key from him. A medallion hung in the center, 5 spikes protruding from the sides at uneven heights. In the center was a strange carving with 6 glass domes, all lit with a different color except for one. Akul slotted the 6th key into the medallion, and the edges morphed into another spike. The final glass dome became an iridescent violet. The metal clicked and moved, turning in place until the spikes revealed a pattern. Kellen's eyes widened. They weren't 6 keys. They were 6 pieces of 1 key. And now they were united. Akul roared, and a glow from deep inside him lit up every scale on his chest, like distant lightning in a dark storm cloud. Sparks crackled across his entire body, and he stretched his claws wide.
Okay, so clearly there's some sort of power that is emboldening Akul here, and this is not looking good. And we find out that Akul intends on making his prisoners suffer, and he's not going to free them, even after obtaining the 6th key, like what he was really after. So, frantic, Kellen is, first of all, devastated about this happening because of him. Like, he's blaming himself. He's the one who roused the suspicion of the Hellspurs. And he's also worried that he failed his father, and they are now all going to die because he couldn't pass as a Hellspur when Oko trusted him to. And so with that, with like that fear and then also kind of being inspired to do the right thing, he makes up his mind. Knowing how fights tend to go in Tarnation, having witnessed a few now, our brave little Kellen turns to Akul and shouts, "I challenge you to a duel." Akul pulled his neck back in surprise before chuckling darkly. The contempt on his face was clear. The Hellspurs behind him broke into mocking fits of laughter. "What are you doing?" Annie mouthed, fearful. Kellen kept his eyes glued to Akul. "If I win, your crew has to let me and my friends go free."
Beside him, Oko stares at Kellen with a pensive look. And when Akul begins to say no, that he has no need to duel with prisoners, Oko, Vraska, and Annie all start to goad him into agreeing. Oko says, "I never thought the great Akul would be so afraid of a child." "No wonder you need whatever is inside that vault. You're nothing," Braska sneers. You're a coward, Annie adds. You went after my nephew for the same reason you go after unarmed civilians and low-level outlaws. They're a sure thing. And as much as you like to cause trouble, well, I can't imagine you're happy when trouble comes to your own front door. That's why you hired this place, isn't it? Oko pushed. To avoid a fight you didn't choose.
And all of this heavily wounds Akul's pride. I mean, let's remember, he's a dragon, all right? So he has pride, and this has heavily wounded that pride. And this is from the story. To a criminal like Akul, reputation was everything. And Oko's crew had just challenged his. After a long pause, the dragon lowered his head toward Kellen, teeth appearing in two razor-sharp rows. Throw them in a holding cell, he said to the Hellspurs. The duel begins at midnight. And that ends our episode today.
It's okay. Oh my gosh. So good. What a crazy episode from start to finish. Like, Kellen is just so in over his head. And it feels like, I think Kellen feels like everything is just spun out of control to this, like, breaking point where he's agreed to, like, duel Akul tomorrow or today at midnight, whatever. Oh my gosh, that's going to be wild. Yeah.
Kellen, oh my gosh, like, okay, we've seen Kellen summon some pretty cool power that, like, two sets ago, Kellen, like, I'm thinking back to Wilds of Eldraine Kellen, who was just trying to summon his basket hilt swords and couldn't even do that. Like, to the Kellen who managed to stop a careening train from going off of a canyon cliff all by himself. Like,
who Kellen, who learned how to fly when Tristani threw him out of the building, of Bidugazi in Murders of Carla Manor. Like, he's slowly been getting more and more and more powerful. And so I'm interested to see how this duel goes.
Yeah.
I'm scared, though, because everyone else that we've seen Akul go up against has not walked away.
Yeah, and, like, let's not forget how we described Akul at the very beginning of this season. Like, he is terrifying. He's like, got this scorpion tail that can do some serious damage. He can fly. He has these giant dragon wings. I mean, he is, and in whatever power, like, it's kind of mysterious. We kind of have to read between the lines, but whatever power was given to him because he wears all six of the keys to the vault now, it's like there's clearly some sort of thunder, you know, like, magic imbuing into him now that's, like, puffing up his scales and turning them all, like, bright. Like, there's something else that Akul possesses now, too. I don't think this weighs in favor of Kellen, like, at all. So I know that Kellen was just trying to do the right thing, but, oh, man, I don't know how Kellen is going to defeat Akul. I really don't know how he's going to do this, because it doesn't even seem feasible.
I know. The best word I can say to describe how I felt when I set this story down after I read it was just anxious.
Yes.
Just so anxious. Like, I immediately flipped to the next story. I was like, okay, I got to see what happens. I can't wait.
I have to know. Yeah. Everything in today's episode makes me excited for more, but luckily our next episode is coming to you right around the corner.
If you didn't know, we release the audiobook versions of these stories too, which you can find either on YouTube or in our podcast playlist. If you want to just listen to the full audio narrations, there you have it. But if y'all like today's recap episode, do us a huge favor and leave us a review. We appreciate everyone who has left a review already and all of you listening out there today.
We can't wait for our next stop in Thunder Junction, but until then,
have a magical day.